It is, again, our joy to have Vlad Kozubowski with us today. Vlad was here a number of years ago reporting on the work that he and his family have in Ukraine that God has given to them, and things have changed a bit in the last couple of years. And so we're thankful for the protection and the safety that God has given to Vlad and his family. They're in serving in a very difficult and dangerous area of our world. And it is a joy to have him here, to be able to share what God has laid on his heart and to be able to open the Word to us. He's going to give a brief report because after our service, downstairs in the library, we'll have an opportunity for a question and answer time with Vlad. And so I'd encourage you to come hear a bit more of what God is doing specifically on that mission field and through this family during that Q&A time. So please make plans to stay with us. Vlad, Lord bless you as you come and open God's Word for us.
Thank you very much, Brother Pastor Chris, and thank you, brothers and sisters, that you welcome me and our family every time we come. The recent times I did not come with family because of different reasons, and this time too because of school and other things and long travels. But thank you. Thank you very much. And yes, as we talk with Pastor Chris, it's better if during the worship time we would focus more on God, on the Word of God, and what He has for any of us, for our spiritual and life benefit. So I would give very brief report or update what we're doing and how we're doing, but then I would be very glad to answer any of your questions you would have about anything. And if I would not like question, I just would say, I don't give the answer, but I would give the answer. That would be the answer. But and I can answer about Ukraine and things there, about our ministry and everything what you'd be interested in. Just a little bit general update. As we studied in Appalachian Bible College, 96 to 2000, and we graduated from there. And me and my wife, we graduated and we went back in Ukraine. We're originally from Ukraine. And since year 2000, we were doing ministries there. And Julia did ladies counseling and ladies ministry. And it turned to be that we began to do it together, couples, family ministry. And then I was doing, I started Bible Institute, but Bible Institute was not academical accredited school. It was in one of churches. We never had church building. I mean, nothing wrong about that. It's great you have it. But this is the way I did ministry. I always tried to start new churches where there is no building yet. So we started Bible Institute, and it was for any young people who want to come and study twice a week just for 2 hours Bible. And our goal was, and I always would say to students who would be enrolled, every year we would have new enrollment, and I would say to students, we do not study Bible to know it. We study Bible to do something with it. And then what I would tell you, it's not what me and my wife done, but this is what God done. And what he has done through those students. They're much smarter, much better, much more talented than me. I was just ministering to them, teaching them Word of God, trying with them to find what Holy Spirit gift they have and where God calls them in the ministry. So in 23 years, me and my wife, we were doing those ministries. She was doing ladies ministry, ladies counseling ministry. And I was doing man's ministry in the Bible Institute. And with students, it turned to be to children's ministry, to drama ministry. And my daughter, she loves drama. So we did different drama skits. And usually we would try to do them outside of church in some city halls or something like that. And we would get involved as actors, non-believers and non-believers. That was kind of like method for us how to do evangelism, because while you practice and prepare something to show, during the practice, once a week you meet, you go through this role, you go through this scenario, and you tell them what the main topic of that is, and it's about Christ. And usually we would take real stories and we would base those dramas on really happened stories, where they would have ending of somebody getting saved or life changed. My son, he loves music and he loves drums. So with him, we did with young people music ministry, evangelism, and kind of like worship team and all of that. And then we started 8 churches, 7 in rural areas, and 1 church I pastored for about 15 years. And we helped to start those churches through medical team coming, American doctors and nurses. We had partnership with them for all this time, and we still have. And they would come for a week or two, and we would go in village, and we would set up clinic, just free checkup to people because economy and circumstances, they're very difficult. So people would come for free checkup and just not prescribe medicine and just care or whatever. And then we would follow up, like Americans would leave and we would say, would you like to do once a week meetings for prayer and word of God? And this is how those rural churches started. And then another church, kind of like urban church in Kyiv, Kyiv before war, it was about 5 million people. So you can imagine how many people and how crowded it is with young people. So that ministry we're doing there. And then with God's grace, we started Rehab Center for Drug and Alcohol Addicted, which exists for last 15 years. And then Bikers Ministry, this is the way I look, and this is the way I was worried if Chris would allow me to be here, but he allowed already several times. So, I was in Sturgis even this year, and I do some ministry with Bikers there too, and Bikers Ministry in Ukraine. And as I say, my pulpit is, it depends what kind of season it is. If it's summer, then my pulpit is either in the wilderness with the camping we were doing on the stone, or if it's biker season on the bike. So this is my pulpit. And then we were doing adventure rock climbing camps for about 12 years and ministries like that. And really war started in 2014. This is when first invasion of Russia happened in Ukraine in the southeast part, and they cut off about 1/5 of our land, and all battles were going there for about 8 years. And then they did another invasion, which was about a year and a half ago. And when it happened, I just knew that I need to stay as a missionary, as pastor, as minister. And the wise and appropriate would be to send away my family. My daughter was at that time studying in America, and she got married. She graduated the same Bible college we studied. So she was that time in America already. And our older son, he was in the United States too. For all time, he was with us in the ministry in Ukraine, but then almost like a little bit less than a year before this, another invasion we had a year and a half ago. So about a little bit less than a year before this invasion, he decided to come in States and to get his career, to get a job, because economy in Ukraine is so bad. And in Ukraine, it was me and my wife and our 12-year-old son. And when my son called, older son called, from United States, and he said, Dad, what are you gonna do? And I said, I will send away your mom, or my wife, and your brother, and I'll stay here for as long as God would want me to stay here, and then I will see what, I don't know what next would be, because it's war. You cannot plan there like you plan, and not during the wartime. And he said, Dad, I quit my job and I come into Ukraine. I said, son, don't do it. You're young and you're in America and you better care for mom and son. And he said, no, I'm American by passport, but I'm Ukrainian by blood. So he quit his job. He came in Ukraine. We evacuated my wife and a little son in America. And since then, me and my son, Vitaly, we began to do different ministries, like evacuating people. He would go to frontline as volunteer to care for soldiers, for their needs, and being kind of like chaplain for them. And I was doing other ministry like that. I would share about that when we would have question and answer time, but just after a period of time, I just sensed that it's time now to recover, refresh a little bit. I was not on the front line, but I seen some things or lives or was involved in some things. So I wanted to get a little bit time for myself and to see my family and then return to Ukraine. So I came in the United States and I was with my family for a while. And then before I was planning almost like 2 weeks I had to go back to Ukraine. And my son came to visit too, and we were planning to go back in Ukraine. And 2 weeks before we would go, heart attack happened to me. And it happened to me, and then right after surgery, I asked doctor, I was planning to go in Ukraine in 2 weeks, when can I go? And doctor said, well, if you wanna go as patient, you can go today. But if you wanna go as minister, you need at least a year. I said, come on, a year? That's long. Can we do it shorter? And he said, well, it's not what we can do. This is how a heart develops, because you need another surgery. So you need time between first and second surgery, half year, and then you have another half year after second surgery. He says, it's the same like broken arm. I mean, you put that thing in your arm, and if it's broken, you can take it off in a day. It would not do any good. It has to be there the time it has to be. So, and then I began to pray and think, okay, Lord, since I'm here, what do you want me to do during this time while I'm in the States? And we began to work on establishing our family here, to get our son in school, to find some place where my wife and kid would live. And what's next, God would lead me in my ministry, because ministries, I told you, we were doing through 23 years. It's not something, first of all, possible to do because of war. And another, even if it'll be possible to do right now, today, for some reason, in my mind, in my heart, I don't have that kind of like desire to do it. It just changed something. And I began to pray, Lord, what do you want me to do when I would be able to go to Ukraine? And God laid on my heart new ministry. As through 23 years, you heard how many ministries we started, and it was something like blood. I was starting ministries through you and then shifting you to other ministries. And now I want you to use for veterans, soldiers, refugee families who went through some traumas, PTSD, or some loss of their family members or loss of their houses or something. And this is what I believe I'm called. So Julia is doing a lot of work now among Ukrainian refugees, ladies here in the States, and communicating with Ukrainian ladies, ministering to them. And I'm very active in this ministry I started, which is called Living For. And more about ministry I can share on question and answer time. Now I would go to the Word of God. And I would say that the message I'm gonna share with you this morning, it's something very very important for me, because this is the foundation what and how and why I'm doing. So when you would hear this message, you would hear, first of all, Word of God, okay? Not Vlad, not my foundation for ministry. Listen, Word of God, okay? But then, the application of this word, you would think, okay, for Vlad, this is what it means. This is what, how, and why he does it. For you, we're all going through all warfares you can imagine in this life. If you do not go through war like we do have in Ukraine, and praise God that you don't have it in States, and God bless America, and America bless God, and God bless Ukraine, and Ukraine bless God. But we all have different spiritual warfares. We have family wars. We have physical, health, social, whatever warfare we're going through personal in our life, that would help. In Living 4, we have prayer cards. You can get them to pray for us and to communicate and partner. But Living 4 stands for, I always like to do those things that I would remember them and I would use it. So Living 4, I've been in America long enough to play with words and numbers. So really, I know that Living 4 spelled F-O-R, but I've been in America enough to do it Living 4, number 4. So you have reason to live 4, but it's number 4, F-O-U-R, which stands for Living 4 means faith. O obtains you unique our reason. So I would go to the Word of God, but then I have my own application to myself, to my life, to my family, to my ministry. You make your own application to you in your war you're going through, whatever war we're going through. But it's something about faith. Faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, faith in His Word. And by this faith, we can obtain. And again, I'm not here for faith movements. I'm not here claiming and all of that and faith and God has to do it for you because He's obligated. But we walk by faith. And all things in our life, they faith-based. And if God anything does in our life, He does it by our faith. Of course, by His will, but by our faith. And then we need to look at any circumstances. We can look like I shared to Brother Chris yesterday. I said, Brother Chris, I was upset at God, and even I believed in Him. I continued to worship Him. I did not deny Him, but I was upset. Lord, why in the midst of what I'm doing in Ukraine, what I want to do in Ukraine, and all excitement and need and all of that, why do I need that heart attack? And why do I have to be? And I didn't know if there is life after heart attack. I didn't know. I thought I would be chained to bed and invalid or something like that. And I thought, Lord, what are you doing? But then God began to show me through Word of God, through prayer, and then I began to study even deeper some testimonies and biographies of some ministers and missionaries through years to learn from their experience. And I began to see any circumstances we can look different angles. One is earthly perspective. Another is God's perspective. And God sees this as unique. It's something unique. And then faith obtains unique. Whatever God does or allows in our life, it's His unique will for some reason. And before I go to the Word of God, I would say one of encouragement, inspiration, and God is talking to me, and it was push to start this ministry and to have this foundation. It was, I was visiting one of soldiers, one of wounded soldiers in a hospital, and he was very broken because he was very wounded and amputee and everything. And then before leaving from hospital, I said, you still have reason to live for. It's your son who is in the womb of your wife because she had to deliver this kid in a couple of months. And I said, at least that reason. Don't have any bad thoughts. Just live at least for him. Well, that turned to be a long story, but that turned to be his closer relationship with God, and he survived, and he's living for his family, for God, and for what God placed in his heart. But when heart attack happened to me, he was one of first calling me from Ukraine to America. And when I said to him, well, brother, you know, now we're both invalids. And he said, Vlad, we're not invalids. Invalid is one who gave up. We're not giving up. Remember you visited me in a hospital and you said, I have reason to live for? Find reason to live for now for yourself. And imagine that this guy is twice as younger than me. He is age of my son. I led him to the Lord. I baptized him. I discipled him. Now he is teaching me about living for. So I have four passages. I would be in time, but four passages. It's just living for, so it has to be four passages. And imagine what chapters it's. Fourth, Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore son and named him Seth, for God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel. I want to start with faith. And my first passage is Genesis 4. And when we read this passage, usually we read it much faster and quicker than it was in their life. How long does it take to read it? That Adam and Eve lost their two sons, and how far, how deep we go to stop and think, what is it for them losing paradise, losing relationship with God, losing all what God intended or had for them, and losing two sons they had, and losing something in their earthly human understanding, losing what they heard in Genesis 3 when he said, but I will do something for you in your seed, Eve. And now imagine that when we read this passage, like between Genesis 3 and this chapter 4, and it takes just a minute or even less, and it doesn't take as much thought and as deep thought as just stop and meditate and think about that and compare it to our life, to our losses we have. And imagine what is for Adam and Eve to lose everything I said and even more than I have time to talk about. And what is it for them not having other children, not having other people around, just them. And they have two only sons and they lost them. And make application for yourself in your life. Where we at? I made application for myself, for my family, for my life, for my ministry. Lord, I lost everything. Because, you know, every time I come in church, and even like today, I see you worship and you sing, and Pastor Brother Chris leads that and everything. And I've done this for 23 years, and I lost all of that. And I don't have church now. And I don't have those people now, and I don't have all that excitement now, and all those ministries. It was not ministries. It's life. And just in one invasion of Russia, we lost everything. But we didn't even lose how much other people lost, either parts of their bodies or their loved ones or whatever they lost or how many refugees. But again, let's get back to your life. Everyone goes through some spiritual war or through some war we have in our life. And we can get to some point that, like Adam and Eve, we lost everything. And yet, see, they can do nothing about it. They can do nothing about it. They cannot make their own the promise God given to them in Genesis 3. But the only thing they kept having in their mind, and especially Eve because it's talking about her, the only thing it's left, faith. And through war, as I was going through being in ministry there and everything, I usually say, I used to believe in heavenly Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. During the war, I began to believe in earthly Trinity. I still believe in her heavenly Trinity. I still do. But this is the earth Trinity. Earth Trinity is when I happen to be in some circumstances, it happens to be some circumstances, and I know it happens in your life. When you're in such circumstances, it's only God, you, and your faith. Nothing else and nobody else. And it doesn't matter, either people or families or church near you, it does not matter. You still feel in these circumstances, in this situation, nobody and nothing would help me. It's only me, my God, and my faith. The next passage I would turn to, it's Luke 4. Remember when Jesus, we're looking about faith obtains unique reason. Jesus came to Nazareth when he grew up. And in synagogue, Luke chapter 4, in synagogue he opens rolls scripture and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptance year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Let me tell you what happened then in synagogue. Imagine that Brother Chris announces me that I'm going to preach. And I come up here and I read this passage. And after reading this passage, I'm looking in your eyes and I'm saying, "Today, it's me who will do all of that in your life during this service. I am the Messiah." I think, I mean, Pastor Chris knows that I'm adequate, okay? But if he didn't know me, or he thought that I'm serious about it, I think he would stood up now. And he would say, "Not anymore, Brother Vlad. Please get out of this stage. Deacons, escort him. And brothers and sisters of church, let me explain you something." But now, but now imagine that Jesus reading this and saying literally. And I would use another illustration. Usually what I do sometimes, I offer, if some church wants, for Easter, I do Seder, Passover Seder. And we set up tables and all major food which should be on Passover. And I sit with some brothers at table. I'm not playing Jesus. I'm playing kind of like one of the disciples. And we're going through how Lord's Supper of Jesus was. And again, nothing against of that, but it was not like we have in Lord's Supper. It was a little bit different. It was whole ceremony. And there, first time in the history, like in this case, it was first time in the history. And this is what I do when I do this Easter Seder or Passover Seder. I say, imagine that first time in the history before Jesus and after Jesus, first time somebody doing this Passover, and first time instead of saying this bread represents Messiah, which would be very logical and expected to hear and to take part in this Passover meal, first time somebody says, "This is me. I am the Messiah." And this blood, first time it was said, before he always said, "This blood represents Messiah." First time somebody says, "This is my blood." And then lamb. So it happened here exactly the same, and faith obtains unique reason. You remember that in that story, really, nothing happened what Jesus said and promised. So either he is a liar, either he is not Messiah, either he is not the one who said, "This is me," or we read the rest of this story, and we read what happened in other city where he went. This is why it didn't happen, because what they heard about him and what he is about to do and what he wants to do and who he as Jesus Christ, as Son of God, as Messiah, as Savior, as God Himself in the flesh, they thought, no, it's just that kid we know. We know his parents. And we've seen him growing up. We would take from him some message. We would take from him some theology teaching. We would take from him some thoughts, but not who he is. We would rather to hear what he's going to talk about. Now, before I turn to other passage, every time we come in church, every time it's amazing about this psalm idea, every time we pray, every time we have devotion in the Word of God, every time we come in church, do we come to hear, I wonder what Pastor Chris is going to preach today about. Does it really matter what he's going to preach about? I think even if he would come up or I would come up, and I said it in churches I planted, and I said it in church I pastored, the last one, I said it, it does not matter what I say. It does not matter what I preach. It does not matter do you like it or not. It does not matter do you agree or not. It does not matter at all. The matter is God laid in my heart to bring up this topic, something He laid in my heart, and something He wants to talk to me, and I'm going with Him through what He put in my heart. Now, this is the topic. You don't have to believe what I preach and teach. It's not between me and you. I didn't die for you. I'm not going to do any things in your life as pastor or church. Don't expect us anything. It's between you and God. If you serve in church or you're not active in church, it's not between you and pastor. It's not between you and church. It's between you and God. And if you do something with this passage, it's not, I didn't like that message. Pastor was not good today. Or Vlad, I mean, we were expecting something different to hear from him. What doesn't matter what I would speak. The matter is, as long as I would say, I would come up here and say, Jesus Christ, amen, and I go down. That is already a deep message. Not because I will say it, but because there is name of Jesus Christ there, and I sat down. And then it's up to you. Do with this name whatever you want. But this name would work, not my message. But here's the point. Those people, they did not believe and nothing worked. Jesus went to other city. He said almost the same things, not same scenario, but same things. And they believed. And what he said, some were healed, some were restored, some lives were changed. And all of those stories, we know what happened. And again, I'm not saying that claim it, you know, and believe it and make God to do it. You know, he's obligated. No, I'm not saying this. But what I'm saying that everything is about faith. And if anything works in our life, it's God, His will, and if we have this faith in who He is and what will He has for my life, and He can do it, and He will do it. The next passage I want to turn to is Book of Acts, chapter 4. So faith obtains unique reason. Peter and John questioned there, how come you healed this man? And in chapter 4, Book of Acts, Peter gives answer, and in verse 10 he says, let it be known to you all that all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you all. This is the stone which was rejected by your builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. But I want to talk about uniqueness briefly. In my case, I can go on and on and on, either me and my family testimony or our ministry testimony in 23 years or during the war ministry or new ministry God starts now and all of that. I can go on and on and on how many lessons I learned. after I argue, after I'm not happy, after I'm upset, after I'm down, after I'm broken emotionally, psychologically, physically, by health or by circumstances, I just broken. I just don't like it. I hate it, and I suffer from that. And after all of that I'm going through, God says, Vlad, this is unique. I know what I'm doing. In my eyes, that is unique. See, another example, there's lots of examples in Scripture, but one of them is Job. You know what happened to him? He didn't like it. He suffered. It turned upside down his life. It broken so bad. And again, it's much more worse. It's much deeper than we read. And we even stop and think, oh, God, how hurtful it was. Still, we don't know how it was. But then, Job did not read Book of Job. But we read it, and we kind of like encourage Job, hey, Job, it's going to be okay in next chapter. Yeah. Because we read how it started. We read that it's not between you and God. We know that it's not God is doing something bad to you. It's, they have some conversation there in heaven between God and Satan. And God is doing something unique. Something unique for him. Something unique for his glory. Something unique to put down Satan. Something unique for you and your family and your life. And hey, Job, I know it hurts you, but it's something unique for me. Because I have very good message to preach about. Because I have some very good book to encourage somebody when I go to. It's unique. So all things we go in our life, there is no logical explanation. There is no practical explanation. There is no human explanation. We would sound, seem, fool with this explanation. There is only one explanation, faith. When we look at some things, what we're going through, and we say, Lord, I believe in you who you are. I believe that you're sovereign, you know what you're doing. And I know something, what I'm going through, it's unique. And very often, I just learning to pray, God, I thank you for everything you didn't answer. You didn't answer yet. Your answer is on the way. I thank you for the answer you're going to give me. I don't know which one, how. I just know that you're doing something unique. And to finish, Revelation 4. Faith obtains unique reason. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, doors standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. I will stop here and I would say, this is reason of our faith. That by faith only in Jesus Christ and his cross, only by that faith, it begins to work, obtain, do something for us and to us, unique name of Jesus, unique cross, Calvary, that not understood by us, but this is unique reality of God, this is truth of God. That reason to believe, reason to put trust in Jesus Christ, reason to become Christian, all reason is that one day we would hear not from Pastor Chris, oh, you saved. Not from mom and dad, not reading in the book, oh, okay, I said that prayer, yeah, I followed that, yeah, I'm saved, thank you after. And I'm talking about some other track. But that the reason is that we would hear from Christ himself, come up here to me. From Christ himself, come up here. Or there is another reason. Another reason to go through all battles or spiritual warfare or whatever we're going in our life, through everything we go in our life, what's the reason of our faith? When, let's be honest, let's be real, what's the reason in our faith when it does not work? Does your faith work all the time? Every time? Really? I've been enough in ministry in life to know it does not work every time and all the time, in the way we want. My point is, faith is not something, God, I believe it, so do it the way I want. Faith is, God, I believe in you, and I believe you would do you what you want in your time, in your way. But what's the reason? And we have many passages in the scripture, and one of them is James. He's saying, what's the reason you don't get some things? Because your reason is not somebody's salvation. Because your reason is not somebody's life changed. Because your reason is not my reason. Your reason is you come into church for your reason. You're praying for somebody for your reason. You're doing something for your reason. Almost like to have deal with God and say, hey, God, I was in church today, so it's ball on your side. Yeah, do something with it. So the reason first is our salvation, and second is salvation of others. Did you ever think that you're in church today for somebody's salvation? And very often we judge those people who don't come to church. I don't know. Usually I say, don't judge those people who don't come to church and who live in sin, because we are in a church today for them. To say, Lord, I would battle for them. I would fight for them. I heard today about you, about your love, about your mercy. I remembered myself how you did cross for me. Now, after I leave this church, I would be your servant for them one day to be in church, for my family members to be in church or friends. And all that ministry is for that reason. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for your Son and our Savior Jesus. Thank you for cross. Thank you for reason to live for. As Jesus Christ as Savior, it's eternity with Him, and serving you in this earth as long as much we can for salvation or life change of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. I saw an interesting trend in those four passages. Genesis 4, the people started calling on the name of the Lord. It's right at the very end. Luke chapter 4, Jesus faithful in his mission to restore those who believe in his name. Acts chapter 4, salvation found only in his name. Revelation chapter 4, that invitation is rooted in the name of Jesus, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? I think that's the core of what you're getting at. Is Jesus enough? And is he what you live for? When Paul said, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain, you know what he was saying? Jesus is enough. God's everything. All for him and all for his glory, that the world may know. So thank you for sharing that with us.